content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep
ringing. Happy holidays to you.
Oh, I messed up.
Here we go. Okay.
We'll pick it up.
It's the holiday.
Wait, it's the holiday season. And Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into town.
I think the delay is messing it up.
That's it. He'll be coming down the chimney now.
It's the holiday season.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Well, now that
everybody's turned off their radios because of my horrible singing.
I couldn't even hear myself. But what fun. And, you know, that's what the holidays are for. Being silly, getting truly relaxed, embracing your friends, your family, your loved ones, your pets, living in a state, if nothing else, for a weekend, a time of gratitude and joy. And so I love Thanksgiving. People that have listened to me for years know that is my favorite holiday for many, many reasons. I have so many fond memories, and I was actually born on Thanksgiving Day. So
you were born on Thanksgiving Day?
I was.
Oh, awesome.
My mother was taking the turkey out of the oven, as the story goes, and her water broke, and I was born
a few
hours later. Yeah.
Wow. So that's super cool. What a great story.
But yeah, and I love when people are in a happy state of mind, and Lord knows that we need that now more than ever in the world, let alone in the United States of America. So many people are struggling, and that's why, I'm a firm believer in, of course, the American Express campaign for share joy and shop small all season long. But this holiday season looks a little different for all of us, but we can still share joy, shop small, and support your local favorite small businesses, both in-store and online, all season long. But do you shop small, Junior?
Whenever I can, I do, because my wife has a clothing boutique. So
she does.
She has up in Allen. She's in the Mercantile up there, and then
she does
online stuff. So yeah, I mean, she's a small business owner. She works for another small business owner who has a salon. So yeah, we always try to. I just feel like, I don't know, the local stuff is usually I feel better quality sometimes. I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about anything else, but I just always feel like it's more unique, it's better quality. And when you go into the store too, it feels a little bit more personal, I feel like, too.
Oh, absolutely. So what is the name of your wife's store?
Bow and Arrow XOXO. And the bow is BEAU.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm totally going to go up there. And I have friends that live in Allen.
Okay.
it's not like it's the other side of the planet.
No, it's not
just
far.
I don't know, 25 miles north of actually downtown Dallas. But I have so many great local businesses that I love, and I'm going to shout them all out. Some of my favorites are Nichols and Hardy, been around forever and ever. I love going in there, and they always have the best plants. And the staff is really knowledgeable, and just I love that store. And again, really high quality stuff. but not overpriced. Same with Read Between the Lines, a great little card shop in Victory Park. My daughter, it's one of my youngest daughter, it's one of her favorite places. And of course, Gem Juices, which is in Preston Center, which I used to sell at a drift float spa. And I remember when they didn't even have a storefront, when they were inside of another store on Inwood Road in Dallas. And so, and of course, VOD Boutique, again, in Victory Park. They have some of the most fabulous, beautiful fashion. If you're looking for something for a special occasion, they have the most incredible stuff. Incredible shop owners, Liz and Jackie. And Layette Children's Boutique here in Dallas. And none of these are paid for sponsorships or anything like that. These are just places that I have shopped at for years, and I love the people that work there. And for example, Layette. Okay, so they sell, and you wouldn't know this because you're a dude, but Madame Alexander dolls. I have very fond memories of getting them for Christmas from my mom. Not every year because they couldn't afford it, but you know, when they could afford it, my mother would always buy as a really beautiful little doll. And mm-hmm. I still have all of them from my childhood, by the way.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, stuff like that. And like you said, real high quality stuff you can't find everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather shop small and shop quality instead of just, you know, putting cheap stuff in a landfill. So I buy forever.
Yeah, I hear that.
That's my tagline.
Yeah,
but brighten up the season and shop small and help your wife out and other fellow business. Everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Right now, I mean, local businesses need our help more than anything. You know, so I think this is a great time to get out there and you know, get all your Christmas shopping done at a local shop.
Yeah. No, I agree. And we've got a great show coming up for you. We're searching for Johnny Bowden. We think
I got him on hold. He's
here. Oh, do you have him?
Yes,
okay, good.
He called in, yeah.
All right, great. Well, we're going to be talking about when to believe the research reports in the media or not with Dr. Johnny Bowden. And at the half, we've got Dr. Jen Myers. She's going to be talking about what a nutrigenomic test will tell you about your nutritional needs. I actually took one a couple of years ago. We pulled it up out of my email, and we're going to be looking over that too. It's kind of interesting, and I probably will start doing it again because knowledge is power, and mm-hmm. health is number one, especially right now. So might be worth the money to invest in, you know, checking out, doing some testing to see whether or not. And again, this is not a sponsor or anything. It's just something that we're contemplating doing, all of us on the team. So so great to have Johnny Bowden with us. He is known as the nutrition mythbuster and is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health. He is the best-selling author of 15 books, including The Great Cholesterol Myth and The Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. Dr. Johnny earned 6 certifications in personal training and fitness. He has a master's degree in psychology, a PhD in holistic nutrition, and is board certified by the American College of Nutrition. His books include Living Low Carb, Smart Fat, and The Great Cholesterol Myth, and The 150 Healthiest Foods on the Planet, or I guess it's 150 Healthiest Foods on Earth. His website is johnnybowden.com, and that's just J-O-N-N-Y, Bowden.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Dr. Bowden?
I am doing great, Marie. How are you?
I'm great.
Is that Bernadette or Marie? Oh, Bernadette. No. Hi. I've been on hold and I was talking to Marie. I'm so
That's
sorry.
Okay.
Hi.
No worries. Hey, it's the holidays. And you know what?
Yes.
It's all about having fun and talking about so many wonderful things that we do with you always. I love the topic today. I'm not sure that we have ever broached this topic with anyone. Maybe Sean Wells several years ago, but when to believe the research reports in the media. So, you know, Johnny, we hear things like, a new study shows that eating one slice of bacon increases your... Do you like my voice?
We do.
Your risk of heart attack by 13%. And I mean, there's thousands of them, literally. So how do we know which ones are true?
Well, I'm so glad to be talking about this. This is really one of my favorite subjects, and it comes up all the time at dinner tables. And it so happens, Bernadette, that just this morning I heard on the news the most perfect example of what we're talking about. And I want to just tell you what the study said, and then I want to watch your reactions when I give you another piece of information. So here was what the study said. A new study just came out that showed it's safer to fly on airplanes than it is to go to the grocery store.
Really?
Now think about that for a second.
Okay. Okay.
That's good news, right?
Right.
That's the kind of thing that if you heard that on CNN, you'd run around, tell your friends, and you'd be talking as if, you know, that's Now, I'm going to give you one more piece of information, and I want you to just note your all reaction when I tell you.
Okay.
The study was done by the airlines. Now, you see, wait, now you laughed. Okay, but this is our beautiful teaching moment.
Yes.
Now, that study doesn't mean that it's not valid. It doesn't mean that they're lying. It makes us laugh because we think, well, of course, they've got something to gain by those results.
Well, yeah.
You think they might have influenced them, and here's what I want you all to know. They don't lie, but it is true, and studies have shown that when you pay for a study, you're 5 times more likely to get the results you want.
Of course.
And that's true of the drug companies. It's true of the companies that make green tea extracts. So we have to be careful to not just assume all studies are created equal. And my message here isn't that we should never we shouldn't trust experts, or we should think that all studies are corrupted, but we need to know who did them.
Well,
and we
absolutely
need to know under what circumstances they were done. Well, did they do it in a doctor's office with, a clinical study with the 7 people who work in that doctor's office? Or was it a phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 clinical trial approved
right
by the FDA? These are very different things. And I hear this on TV all the time. Oh, 9 out of 10 doctors surveyed recommend this form of CoQ10. What do you mean 9 out of 10 doctors surveyed? Were they surveyed by the company who makes the product?
Well, it's a conflict of interest. You know, it's totally a conflict of interest. That's why I laughed out loud. And many companies will employ scientists to carry out and publish research. They do. And that research can also be misrepresented for personal or financial gain. I mean, it's common sense, right? But we do
It is, and it happens. And let's remember that the vast majority of drug studies are paid for by the drug companies. I mean, we hear about these things and we don't realize that the same thing that made us laugh when we heard that the airlines sponsored a study showing that airlines are safe, it doesn't make us laugh when we find out that a statin drug reduces cholesterol. We don't laugh then. We don't go, oh, wait a minute, wasn't that done by AstraZeneca? What, did they have anything at stake here? And again, I want to emphasize, I do not think these people cheat. These are real scientists. They're doing the best work that they can. But there's lots of facts that emerge from a study. And you can choose to show only certain ones, or you can show the whole thing. I can't
right
tell you the number of studies we talked about in our book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, that showed that people given statin drugs in that group, they had 1 or 2 less heart attacks. But what they leave out in the summary of the study is that the other group, the group that took the statin drug, also had 2 more deaths from diabetes or cancer. So if you
right
leave that out, the fact that it saved a couple of heart attacks doesn't sound as good, does it?
Well, it doesn't.
I just urge people to understand that studies are like, Bernadette, you'll love this. I bought an engagement ring 5 years ago, so
okay,
Michelle and I are technically engaged. And I know from talking to people all my life that, when you have to buy a diamond, do you know anything about it? They all look great. You need
yeah
these people to look with these little jeweler things, and they've got to look at clarity and all this stuff that you don't even know about, right? Well, studies are like diamond rings. Some of them are fake. Some of them are sort of good counterfeits. Some of them are okay, but they're flawed, and some of them are perfect. And we can't just assume all studies are created equal.
Yeah. Diamonds. What a great, that's like the master marketing campaign of the, all time.
But the point is, I give it as an example of experience a lot of people have had. There's a lot of people have bought jewelry, and we don't
right
know if it's real or not. We need experts to look at that. But what we have to understand is that we can't just trust the fact that we heard there's a study.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like saying, I bought a beautiful ring at the mall. Well, good.
Yeah.
What's it worth? I don't know. And
well,
the same thing is true with studies.
Absolutely. And there's fraud and corruption in every industry, and so much so that even Nature magazine, which is the scientific industry paper, if you will, magazine for scientists, writes articles about it. It's become problematic. And so, but it's human nature, the green-eyed monster, right? Not the green-eyed monster, but the greed in the world today is unprecedented. But we're going to go to a quick break. More coming up with Dr. Johnny Bowden. We're going to be talking more about when to believe the research reports in media. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on. The feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Gosh, I just love the Christmas music, and I hope everybody out there listening does as well. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette. I feel like skating right now. I'm a hell of a skater, by the way.
Me too.
And so are you. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. Can you ice skate or just roller skate?
I can, but I'm not as good on ice as roller. I can do, like, the inline skating, like,
yeah.
But I'm not the best at ice skating, but I can get around.
And I'm the opposite, Junior.
Yeah.
I am. And so, Dr. Johnny, are you an ice skater or a roller skater or neither? Which one are you?
Neither. I've been told I skate on thin ice a lot, but
oh yeah, same here.
Oh my gosh! Well, what a fun
show
today.
I got a great story for you, Bernadette.
Oh my gosh, let me hear it. I love your stories.
It's really relevant. It's so relevant to our topic about studies. And you will love it on so many levels. So I got interviewed by a nationally known magazine. I won't throw them under the bus.
Okay.
And they do all these interviews now by email, which is horrible because they don't get any sense of, you know, being able to actually have a discussion and go down the road. But they wanted, for Heart Health Month, here was the setup. You're going to love this. Here are the kinds of mistakes people make that could increase their risk for heart disease. And she wanted to know from the people she was interviewing what we could do to kind of right the ship after having made this mistake. So, for example, you know, if you got drunk one night and you had a lot of alcohol, what could you do the next day that might, you know, make it better?
Water.
So here were the questions. Here was the question that she asked me. You've eaten a steak, in parentheses, eating steak related to heart disease, studies show. What could you do to make up for it the next day? For example, maybe eat fish and salad. That was the question, Bernadette. Now, let's deconstruct that from so many levels.
Yeah.
So she throws in that steak is related to heart attack risk, according to a study. Well, first of all, the study she's talking about is an epidemiological study. That's called an observational study. It's not a clinical study. There's never been a study ever, ever, ever that shows that people who eat meat have more heart attacks. There have been studies, observational studies, that show that people who eat meat maybe, under some circumstances, have higher cholesterol, but we now know that cholesterol doesn't cause heart attacks, and we also know that they're measuring cholesterol wrong. So look at the assumption built into the question. Steak causes a rise in heart attacks. It does not. And then the question put to me is, how can we fix that?
Yeah.
You see how insane and somebody's answering those questions, by the way. I of course, wrote quite a dissenting opinion, and I sent her four studies showing that saturated fat doesn't cause heart disease, that it's been vindicated, and that meat doesn't even have that much saturated fat. It's mostly mono. Doesn't matter. There are nutritionists and dietitians who answered those questions, and someone somewhere is going to read in a very big national magazine about what you can do to correct the damage you've done after eating a steak.
Mm-hmm. Well, the American Dietitian Association, that's an interesting topic in itself.
Don't get me started.
I was going to say, it's almost like belonging to the mob or something. Seriously, some of the stories that I have heard are just unbelievable. And that's a great place to start in this country, to revamp the knowledge or the information that's out there about heart disease and just nutrition, everything. I mean, I'm looking at a study that I won't name the magazine, but I'm going to ask you to comment. Eating 3 eggs a day keeps your heart healthy. What do you say, Dr. Bowden?
eating 3 eggs a day keeps your heart healthy? Uh-huh. Well, I think it's probably the same kind of, you know, crappy study that we're talking about that say if you eat 1 egg, the risk for heart attack goes up.
Yeah.
So I think, again, we're talking about these observations. I am more inclined, because of my particular orientation to nutrition and health, to think that that's probably true. But mm-hmm. it's as crappy a study as the ones that show if you eat 1 egg, your heart disease risk goes up. Look, every year, statisticians have fun by coming up with these kinds of statistically meaningful statistics that actually mean nothing. In other words, you can find a statistical association. And I think Nate Silver at 538 does this every year. He puts up all these things. And these are true statistical associations. I think the best example that comes to mind is that there's a statistical correlation between having blue eyes and seeing the movie Crash. Mm. In other words, mm-hmm. you are more likely to see Crash if you have blue eyes. These are what is called noise. Signal and noise, this is the noise. These are spurious relationships that show up when you observe thousands and thousands of people. They don't mean anything. And that's the kind of information we get when we look at those kind of observational studies and say, oh, if you eat 1 egg, your risk for heart attack goes up by 13%, or you eat 1 piece of bacon, or it goes down if you eat 4 ounces of nuts. And really, those studies don't really show that. They just show an association, not a causal connection. And that works on both sides.
Right. Yeah. So I'm looking at this rough guide that I've had for years. I think Sean Wells actually gave it to me. It's a rough guide to spotting bad science. On this list is sensationalized headlines, misinterpreted results, conflicts of interest, correlation and causation, unsupported conclusions, problems with sample size, unrepresentative samples used, no control group used, no blind testing used, selective reporting of data,
All of that is true. And I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example that everybody will be able to relate to immediately. I've heard this in politics a lot. Let's say there's a particular, I don't want to pick any group that they're saying, oh, you know, these people are very, very poor. And the other party says, actually, their income has risen by more than any other group since in any other administration. You go, well, how could that be possible? Well, it's very easy. If your income was $10,000, and it went up to $13,000. That's a 30% increase. You could say their income went up by 30%. But if the rest of the country is making $75,000 a year and their income went up by $10,000, all of a sudden that 30% income doesn't mean much. It's true.
Right.
But you can pick which way to describe facts so that, you know, going from the poverty level of $10,000 a year to $13,000 a year can sound like a real achievement. It's 30% increase. They do this with heart attack studies all the time with statin drugs. 33% reduction in risk. No, it was one person out of, instead of two people dying, it was, instead of three people dying, it was two out of 500. So you do have a 33% drop, but it's meaningless.
It is.
It's how we report the data, as well as all the things you listed on Sean Wells' thing. There's ways to emphasize percentage, which always makes it sound better than it is.
Oh, yeah.
And there's ways to talk about the absolute number of people who died or the absolute number of dollars you made. And that presents very often a very different picture.
And you know, this is, I'm so glad we're talking about this, but I think the number one thing that people out there listening want to know is, how can we tell if a study is truly unbiased?
You got to look deeper than most people are willing to look. You just have to sort of have a healthy skepticism and know that there is a lot of bias in research. There is a lot of conflicting of interest. There's a lot of what's called confirmation bias, which is when you expect to see something you often do. And that's been proven in study. That's a basis of psychology, confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. So you have to just know that stuff. And I would just urge people not to worry about whether each and every study is right, but just to have a general kind of skepticism that you want to look a little bit deeper, like who did it and what were the results and what measure did they use? And of course, not everybody's going to read all that stuff for every study. But if we just had a little more healthy skepticism and didn't run off every time we heard some cockamamie thing like eating an egg is going to give you a heart attack, you know, I think we would have a more balanced and sober approach to understanding how to use this information.
I agree. Let's talk about Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Sure.
Can you give our listeners some nutritional advice, and then I'm going to find out what you're eating, and so what give them some advice. And out of all the traditional Thanksgiving dishes, which one would you say is the healthiest, and which one is the unhealthiest?
Well, I really prefer to look at it as a pattern of eating, as an ensemble rather than any one. I don't like focusing on one ingredient, even when it's something as horrible as high fructose corn syrup. I think that patterns of eating are more important. And with Thanksgiving, it's always an awful position for a nutritionist to be put in, because we always feel like the food police, like we're going to screw up everybody's happiness and connection with their family and all their traditions. And nobody wants to be that kind of a wet blanket. But I would offer the advice that there's a few things you can do damage control. Have smaller portions. Eat protein first. Start the meal with a salad. The studies have shown that if you start with a salad or a clear soup, you just spontaneously eat a little bit less. So that might be a way to help yourself along. Don't graze on all the stuff. I think one of the best piece of advice you can give for Thanksgiving is to limit your choices. Like if you're going to have one piece of pie, then pick what that is. But variety is the enemy of moderation. When you have lots of choices, look at a Las Vegas buffet. People eat and eat and eat and eat because there's so much stuff to try, and your taste buds are always saying, well, I'm full, but I have room for that because that's a brand new taste. So pick a few, pick a few things. Don't have to sample everything. Try to be a little heavier on the protein and fat and a little less on the carbohydrates, and stick with a lot of vegetables. So I would just kind of, the obvious ones, just keep them, trying to do damage control with them. I would never tell anybody don't eat a candied sweet potato on Thanksgiving, but maybe don't make the meal be around that. Maybe make the meal be around turkey and let the candied sweet potato just be a small little accompaniment.
I love that advice. What are you eating? What are you having tomorrow? Are you doing any of the cooking? Can you cook?
Nothing but candied sweet potatoes all day long for me. I mean, no, because of COVID, we're having a smaller one, just Michelle and her kids and me. And she'll cook a turkey, and we won't be very heavy on the desserts, but she does make pecan pie, and we will probably have a bite of that. But again, I really feel for most people who aren't under some kind of medical directive to avoid something at all costs ever, for always, I think for most people, if 90% of the time you're eating foods that your great-grandmother would have recognized as foods, foods that don't require processing, foods that could have been hunted, fished, gathered, or plucked, if that's your diet 90% of the time, by all means, have a bowl on Thanksgiving. But just the next day, you might want to do some intermittent fasting. You want to do a little bit of extra exercise just to get your circulation up. You might want to stick with some broths and some medical foods protein shakes, healthy things that are very, very simple and easy to digest and low in calories, and a couple of days like that, and then you can kind of get your insulin metabolism back where it should be, and then go back on that whole foods diet. You'll be fine.
Absolutely. Great advice. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. And don't forget to be grateful for everything that we have, and even when that seems dire, you got to remember there's probably a billion people on the planet who, looking at our lives right now, as dire as they may be, even if we had horrible health things and COVID stuff, would think that you are living, they would trade places with you in a minute. So let's try to remember that. It's a very sobering thought, even when things seem difficult. There's a lot of people who would give their life to be able to trade places with us.
Absolutely. A time for gratitude and joy. Thank you so much, Dr. Johnny Bowden. You have a great holiday. You can find him at...
Bye, everybody. Bye, Marie. And Bridget. And the whole gang. Right. And we'll...
All right. Thank you so much, JohnnyBowden.com. We have Dr. Jen Myers coming up. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Comes this time each year.
Ooh. Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the Blue
us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back, everyone. Happy holidays to everyone out there listening. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I'm hoping that everyone listening gets a day of rest with their family and friends, and joy and gratitude and all the things that make Thanksgiving wonderful. And I'll tell you who I'm thankful for is Dr. Jen Myers. She's a wonderful, lovely woman, and she is really, really brilliant as well. She is a doctor of natural medicine, doctor of acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and a certified genomics nutrigenics specialist. She is the chief genomics officer and master formulator on two scientific advisory boards focused on DNA-based supplementation. Dr. Myers instructs physicians and practitioners how to implement nutrigenomics into their practices to provide a more personalized approach. She is also a Sun Warrior plant-based proteins and has published a number of articles on their behalf. You can find her on Instagram at Sun Warrior or at Jen Myers underscore, right? At Jen Myers underscore. Is that correct?
Yes. That is correct. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, yes, and everybody there as well. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I have to tell you, I pulled an old DNA testing that I did a couple of years ago, a company that wanted to advertise with us. I never did do it because I worried about people spending money on things that they don't really need. But, you know, the more information that I have discovered about this topic, what a nutrigenomic test will tell you about your nutritional needs has made me take a second look at this, because I think it's very important that we have that kind of knowledge. Knowledge is power. And when it comes to our health, there's nothing more important. So, you know, as I said, you and I have talked about this topic before, but will you remind our listeners what nutrigenomic testing is?
Absolutely. No, we have talked about this before, and I could talk about this repeatedly over and over because I love it, of course. So what we're doing with nutrigenomic testing is it's kind of the scientific study, or this new study, which is great, of individualized genetics and nutrition. And it's formed of nutrigenomics and nutrigenetics, and it's looking at an individual's genetic profile, and it's accurately identifying each person's genetic protein variations, like if they have what I like to call is a hiccup within these biochemical pathways that doesn't allow their body to function or to do things as optimally as we should. This isn't a bad thing. It's just looking at and identifying sites of these metabolic weaknesses. So there's so many key proteins that are involved in things like enzyme conversion and nutritional delivery and even signaling of pathways in each one of our cells. So it's assessing and looking at genetic SNPs, or single nucleotide polymorphisms, that have an effect on how our body functions on a molecular level and how we absorb, metabolize, detox, and use specific nutrients and nutritional supplementation.
Mm-hmm. The information that you can get is incredible. As I said, I'm looking at, you know, my old results from a couple of years ago, and it goes into carb utilization, fat loss response to cardio, fitness response to cardio, and some of this stuff is pretty darn important. For example, under exercise, my fat loss response to cardio is low. You know, that's good information to have, right?
It is, because how often do you go into a gym, or even with anything, taking a nutritional supplementation, going into the gym and doing what you feel is right, or what your personal trainer has experience with your body type that could be right, but actually it could be completely wrong for you.
Yeah, well, and here's another one, a body composition response to strength training. Mine is enhanced, mm-hmm. which I kind of already knew that, but to read it in writing just reinforces it's no longer a question in my mind that when I do, you know, weight training, my body responds quickly.
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah, and to go to nutrients, I mean, this is important to know, like my vitamin B6 tendency is low, my vitamin B12 tendency is low, my vitamin C tendency is normal, vitamin D tendency normal. All these things are great information to have so that you can have the most optimal health possible. It's money well spent.
Exactly. It is, and it's not looking at measurements of excess or deficiency, and that's where some people, I think, read it wrong as, oh, well, my vitamin D levels are fine, but it says here that I have a problem with vitamin D. And it's not that. It's looking at these really important nutritional metabolism pathways and saying, okay, do you properly utilize these particular nutrients and where do you not? So then we can confirm with the blood test and such to see if there is a deficiency there. And then we know how to better give recommendations based on not only the what mm-hmm. the person is telling us in their blood work, but also how they're going to utilize it through their genetics.
Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes, you know, with just a little more information, how you can change your mind. Okay, so nutritional recommendations are usually the same for everyone. How much of a difference is there from person to person in regard to nutritional needs?
It is person to person. It is case by case, absolutely. So we've noticed that more than 75%, and this is in research, of course, of all people, actually have a really significant genetic variation or SNP, that single nucleotide polymorphism, in each one of those most important nutritional metabolism pathways. So most people actually have an issue. Let's take an example of folic acid. It takes 7 steps in that methylation pathway to convert folic acid, which is actually not absorbed and utilized by the cell, to convert it to folate, or that what we call 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, which I love saying. And it can start to be used to precurse so many different, 250 plus to be exact, biochemical reactions in the body, including cellular energy. That's your gasoline, how we absorb wow. other nutrients and food, the nutritional supplementation and nutrients mm-hmm. from food, both our growth hormones, our immune system. I mean, there's so many different, our detox, our neurotransmitters, so many different things that are involved from being able to convert folic acid to folate to get it in the cell. And it's incredible the information that we can get from it.
Absolutely, I agree. And I'm going to be asking you a lot more questions about this. We're going to go to a quick break. Everyone, more coming up with Dr. Jen Myers. We're talking about what a nutrigenomic test will tell you about your nutritional needs. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
It's all cold down along the beach. And the wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time? What? Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many, not many. You guys are in trouble out here. And you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, he's checking it.
On social media at One Life Radio.
Christmas music makes me smile, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. Oh, is this a song that we can sing?
We can try.
Are you listening?
In the lanes, no one's listening.
There we go.
Oh my gosh, I'm having too much fun today. I really am. I love doing holiday shows. I look forward to it all year long. I really do, just being absolutely silly on the air. And I can't think of a better person to do it with, the lively and wonderful Dr. Jen Myers. She is a doctor of natural medicine, doctor of acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and a certified genomics nutrigenic specialist. She is also a chief genomics officer and master formulator on 2 scientific advisory boards focused on DNA-based
plant-based supplementation. Dr. Myers instructs physicians and practitioners on how to implement nutrigenomics into their practices to provide a more personalized approach. She is also a formulator for Sun Warrior Plant-Based Proteins, our longtime sponsor that brings this great information to you, by the way, along with Enviromedica, Kestrin, Pollock, the Wellbeing Journal, and several others. But it's always great to have her on the show. You can find her on Instagram at Sun Warrior or at Jen Myers _. Okay, so Dr. Jen, should everyone get a nutrigenomic test, or is it just more for those with specific health issues?
No, why wait until there's issues, right? It's like you want to keep your car running the way that it's supposed to without, you don't wait until, you know, it stops running to go, oops, I should have changed the oil 20,000 miles ago. You know, it is for everybody, in my opinion, and anyone who currently takes nutritional supplementation. How do you know without scientific or rational scientific validation that you're taking what your body's going to use best? So I always say, why wait until the problem is there? So being proactive and preventative, utilizing these tests to best understand how, and it's a tool, it's not a weapon. It's not about, oh, you're predisposed to this disease or that disease. Nutrigenomics is understanding how the body functions on this biochemical level so that we can come in and support it properly. It's like filling in the cracks of the foundation. You don't want the house to fall down. So support it and keep it supported so that way you always know that, hey, the home is always going to stand. I am going to run optimally. It's like putting the right kind of gasoline in your car. We know what to do because the manufacturer tells us so because they have our blueprint. That's exactly what this is. It's our blueprint, so we know what to put in our bodies so they run more efficiently and optimally.
Well, yeah, and supplements are expensive. You know,
yes,
maybe you're taking the wrong ones, you know, or too much of one. I can't wait to do it. I'm actually going to do it again. So is the test mostly in the masses used for weight management? Is that what most people use it for?
No, I think that there's an understanding that it does help with that, and it does. I've written and composed weight management genetic panels, and we do get great information about it because it's not just about how do I lose weight. It's like why your body doesn't. Is it a dopamine receptor problem? Is it an insulin resistance problem? Is it the wrong types of food problem? Is it the wrong types of exercise problem? So there's so many things that we can look at with that it's very appealing. However, I think that most people are looking at it for, you know what, I just want to feel better. You know, how many people are actually taking supplements and their recommendations are based on either, hey, a friend took this and felt better, so I'm going to take it, or I saw it on the internet and I take it and that didn't do anything for me. Supplements don't work, you know, so they want to be more proactive and preventative. I mean, the number one reason that was pulled in research why people take nutritional supplementation is because they want to feel better, period, end of sentence.
Yeah, absolutely. So how is the test administered? For instance, is it done in an office setting? And especially now with COVID-19, how does the testing work?
I know. So it's not necessarily have to be done in a clinical setting. It can be done drop shipped straight to the patient from different companies, from different providers. There are doctors and healthcare providers that actually utilize these tests in their office, and this can be... It's so easily accessible nowadays, but it's a cheek swab. So we're pulling DNA from the cheek swab. There is no excess amounts of saliva or blood necessary. You're not through a tube for hours or anything like that. And the inside of the cheek actually provides this ample amount of DNA cells that can give us a complete genetic analysis. We can look at a whole genome sequencing. We can look at your language. It's not just the words we're picking out. So cheek swab, both sides, 30 seconds each. And it's very, very simple. You can do it at home yourself or have somebody at home do it for you. It's very simple.
And then you send it back off into the mail. How long does it take to get results?
You send it back off. It depends. Every company is a little bit different. You should have them in about 2 weeks. So they usually say 10 to 14 business days about, but some companies can do that sooner. It depends on the lab, how fast they're able to process things, how many samples they actually get. So that's kind of determined upon on the lab more so than it is the actual provider or the person who actually puts out the testing.
Well, and we kind of talked about this already, but what do the results look like and what kind of information is provided?
Yep, so it's really neat. We're looking at those single nucleotide polymorphisms or those each individual SNPs within a certain biochemical pathway. So things like methylation, how do you get your cellular energy? Detoxification, how do you detox from environmental toxins? Immune and inflammatory response, how does your body react to oxidative stressors and things in the environment or lifestyle that could be causing a problem? It's giving these very specific nutritional recommendations that we need to help us overcome our genetic weaknesses. That's actually identified in our DNA, which is great. Giving these specific nutritional products, therapeutic suggestions, makes it very easy for the patient to understand, of course. We're using lifestyle recommendations based on food and nutrition. We can tell if certain foods are going to be disruptive to how your body functions on a daily basis.
Wow.
So what kind of laboratory testing your healthcare provider should look into to help support the genetic findings?
Well,
so, of course, there's always science and research to back it, always.
Absolutely, and the music is playing. It's been so great to have you on the show. I'm going to do the test. I'm going to share my results live on the air. I can't wait to have you come back. Well, I'll do it with you on the air.
Yes,
it'll be great.
I love it. It's perfect.
All right, and you know what? We've got to go, but it's been so great to have you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Dr. Jen. We love you here at One Life Radio. Everyone, thank you so much for listening, and remember to just enjoy this holiday with love and peace and gratitude. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone.